Wow, look at that. Well, I'm stunned into silence. Welcome back, here, everybody, to the State of Jersey podcast.
Hey, let's do it again. I'm kidding.
Yeah, so the
that was heavenly. Thank you.
Let's see. Where are we? All right. Yeah, we're beginning the podcast, aren't we? Check out the website, journey.com, the world leader in sports travel information with reviews of over 2,500 stadiums from all around the world and more countries now than we had last time you joined us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Threads. Easy to find at Stadium Journey. Like, share, or follow, right? To find episodes of the Stadium Journey podcast, because we've been doing this for years now, people. Years and years we have. Literally, well, not literally. We have thousands and thousands of podcasts in our back catalog. Just type in HIAC, hundreds, not thousands. I wonder how many we've actually done. A lot.
Well, just count 24 times 7.
Reviews from 28 countries.
28 countries?
Nice. At least.
Anything from Botswana?
No, but Cyprus.
It's going to be one of these shows, I can already tell. But anyway, to find old episodes of the podcast, type in HIAC Talk Radio Network wherever you find your favorite podcast, and we'll be there. If you would rather watch podcasts, well, some of us are wont to do from time to time, just go to Stadium Journey's YouTube channel, and all the old podcasts are there and more. If you want to be part of our studio audience, we record live roughly every other Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Dan's... Every time it changes how to get here, so just pay attention to one of our social media channels, and you will find us because we're posting all about it all the time. We're getting so high tech, I can't keep up. I feel like Joe Biden.
Do you like that 400? No, you're doing much better.
In the next episode, Dan is going to count to 1 kafillion for us.
1 kafillion. No, it's 400 million kafillion.
let me before we get started, let me introduce everybody. Dave Cotton is here. Follow him online at ProFan9. Mark Viquez can be found at Ballpark Hunter, the above average comedian. Dan Calachico is here too. Follow him at DanLaw83. And I'm Paul Baker. You can follow me at PuckmanRI. The RI stands for really interesting.
Not funny anymore.
Yeah, but you know, people watch for the first time. They haven't heard the joke 100 times like you have.
Well, you know what? I'll give you that one. Sure.
All right, so if you've made it this far, first of all, congratulations, because we've been rambling. But every once in a while, we like to actually put the journey in Stadium Journey. And since over the last couple of weeks, since we last got together, Mark, Dave, and myself all hit the road on road trips. So we figured, what the hell? Why not today? So here we go, on the road again. So we're gonna discuss some of our favorite places we've visited since the last time we talked about the places we visited.
Damn, I feel we owe Willie Nelson like $10 for even mentioning that song.
Is it on the road again? He needs it, God knows. Hey, did you know? Never mind. Nothing.
Why did I think Eddie Rabbit sang a song on the road again?
I don't know. He might have, but Willie did it first.
No, the one that goes through my head is definitely Willie Nelson. And hey, in one of my trips, I was at Nashville last week and actually went to the Ryman Auditorium where they used to record the Grand Ole Opry. And they had a picture of a young Willie Nelson up there on the wall. He was ugly then. He's ugly now.
He's ugly now.
Was he about 91 now?
He's in his 90s now, yeah.
He had less tax problems then, though.
Mermaid about last year, still rocking.
He's 91, yeah.
All right, so would anybody like to step up and go first of talk about their travels?
Yeah, I'll go first. I traveled the furthest, but probably saw the least compared to Dave and Mr. Baker. But I did go to some other spots. I actually went down to San Jose, Costa Rica to see my father, first time in about 20 years. And he happens to live about a mile and a half away from the biggest stadium of its kind in Costa Rica, which is a baseball stadium. I never knew this existed until Zach Beeson brought it up. He's a buddy of mine and a fan of the Ballpark Hunter podcast. And he's like, oh, yeah, they got a ballpark there. So, yeah, I did some research. And I'm going to tell you something. The first baseball field that was established in San Jose was in 1921. and it was on a site called Plaza Viquez. So I can't think of a better spot to have a baseball park. And that was named after Don Cleto Viquez, who was president of Costa Rica on two occasions. And he is related to me. He's my grandfather's second cousin. So there is that connection. So I guess my fourth cousin, he never knew me. I never knew him. But yeah, my grandfather knew him. But I don't know how well he knew him. That was many, many moons ago. So that's the National Stadium in Costa. That's where they played. I did fly over that. I didn't get to the game. But this ballpark's called Estadio Antonio Escaré, and it was built in 1941, reconstructed in 1955. And if you look at the ballpark on our website, it looks like it hasn't been touched since 1955. My dad, who is not a baseball fan, says, "Oh, yeah, yeah, they built that park when I was a kid." I'm like, well, thanks for telling me now. I mean, you're almost 95 years old. Now you're telling me there's a baseball stadium near the house? Where were you back in 1985 when I was there? So, yeah,
thanks a lot, pal.
Thanks a lot, Dad. So I show up there, and as soon as you walk into the stadium, you know, most old ballparks of that type, you know, you're underneath the grandstand in the hallways. No, this ballpark had seating underneath, and everybody had a nice view of the backstop. And then you go upstairs, and there's more seating. Everything's covered, so if it rains, and it rains around this time down there, you don't get wet. So I'm walking around recording, and there's a guy just kind of staring at me like, and then he comes over to me, starts speaking English. He's a gentleman from Venezuela, Pedro Palacios. He's the commissioner of the league. Young guy. He looks like he's in his 20s. But he starts telling me that he grew up with Luis Torrens, who's the backup catcher for the Mets, journeyman. He's played for a few teams in Major League Baseball. Doing a good job for the Mets right now. But so he and I start talking. He speaks fluent English, and he's telling me how he's trying to – and there's the ballpark there. I mean, that could easily fit into a summer collegiate. Like, it's a big stadium.
Yeah, look at that.
It's about a little bit under 4,000 fans seating. They're seating down the left field lines and the right field lines. But I mean, that's just such a, you know, that just takes you back in time. And I mean, that's how close the taxis park to the
street. Jeez.
It's like, that's the street. And this was a amateur baseball team that was playing. It's like six teams. They play every Sunday. There's another location, but this is the big stadium, and that's underneath the grandstand. That's you know, that's where they decided to build the seats. I don't know if it's always been like that, but I kind of like that view. It's
yeah, that's pretty unique.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. And you know, you're not expecting a ballpark of that size.
Nice.
I said in San Jose. There's
look at the scoreboard.
Look at that scoreboard. It wasn't even working. I think I have another shot of that. But yeah, these were amateur guys. Some of them were like, oh yeah, there's the menu. Now, 2,000 colones, mm-hmm. You get like a hamburger, fries, and something to drink, is it's about $4.
Oh, okay. Jeez.
Yeah. And then Salchie
Pop. So we suck with inflation.
No. Well, you know, that was probably the cheapest place you could get something to eat in San Jose. A lot of the other places I went to were a little bit higher. But the food, I mean, the food was great there. I could have had a lot more. I had actually eaten lunch before I arrived there, but they have something called Salchie Papas, which are sausages, sliced grilled sausages on French fries with like ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise. Then they have
those seats look hard, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those seats. Yeah. Like I said, not a lot of people at this game, about 50, 60 people. And that was probably like the thing I hated the most, but it's, you know, it's amateur baseball. After the game was over, it was mostly Nicaraguans playing because, you know, Ticos don't play baseball. They don't know what the heck that is. They're all speaking English to me too. It was funny. And the guy's like, "Hey man, you want a green beer?" And I don't know what that meant because he never came back with it. But green beer. And there's Plaza Viquez.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Which is one of the ugliest monuments. That's like a naked woman and Don Cleto Viquez, his head is on the top of it, but
I thought it was a phallus at first.
Yeah, I thought it was too. That's what it is. But yeah, and there's actually a soccer stadium there, and it's home to a third division team that just finished playing as I left the game. So, you know, it's a small little neighborhood, doesn't stand out, but if you're in town and you got something to do on a Saturday at 1 o'clock, go check out the ballpark. You can go on their Facebook page. You can watch the games. So it's a little bit better than just, you know, checking out, you know, cause some, you know, I go to a lot of amateur baseball games, like up in Minnesota or down in Lineport, Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's a good way to spend a couple hours, you know. They're no professional team. And, you know, what the commissioner was telling me is that there's two leagues, one with some younger players, one with older players. If he could mix them somehow, he thinks he would have a pretty damn competitive league that could attract a lot more people and maybe get some Costa Ricans to play. But that's the big thing there. What's keeping baseball alive there are the Nicaraguan immigrants and some folks from Venezuela. It's not necessarily the folks from Costa Rica.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's just like here. Yeah. It's just like here with cricket. That's being played mostly by people from, I guess, Southeast Asia more than the locals. But yeah, like
yeah. And the website kind of loads fast.
Yeah. 100 years of baseball. But I think I'd like to get more information on that stadium. You know, I want to get more history, you know, things of that nature. It feels like everywhere you go has the same information, and I just want to make sure that's the right there. So, guys, if you're in San Jose, Costa Rica, Saturday, 1 o'clock, and I think they play throughout the year because once they're done with this season, another season picks up. So, you know where to go, stadiumjourney.com. Check out, you know, Estadio Antonio Escare, and I think they call it El Escare as its nickname. Nice ballpark. Nice, much better than I ever thought. And like I said, it's been there since 1941. So,
well, it looks cool in the shadow of the sun.
Oh yeah, that looks cool.
That's not bad.
No, that's not too bad.
Look, the at other that. One's definitely a phallus.
Yeah, and then nearby you have a KFC, and then right across the street you have a restaurant that has a lot of comidas, which are typical Costa Rican dishes: rice and beans, a piece of meat. Yeah, there's my cousin Don Cleto. Considered one of the last great, honest presidents of Costa Rica. So growing up, I always heard about him.
Wow.
I'm like, really, Dad, if we're descendants from presidency, why aren't we benefiting from it?
Well, because it was in the 1900s and he was honest.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, yeah, so that was the first stadium I went to, and I did check out the other stadium, but not a game. Which, unfortunately, right now in Costa Rica, the season doesn't start until another 2 weeks from today. So I was there about 3 weeks early. Now, that would have been fun to talk about a Costa Rican soccer match because it does get crazy there. A lot crazier than a baseball game.
Where's the baseball stadium?
It's, wow. Where's the baseball? See, I tell you, and look at these Costa Rican neighborhoods. They're
yeah.
I mean, they go up and down. Yeah, right there to the.
Oh, there it is. Okay. That's not. Yeah, that's okay.
I mean, it's like I said, it just blends into the environment. And, you know, you just, it's like you could, as soon as you walk out of the stadium, there's the street and then there's the restaurant, you know, so you are within a few yards.
It's like two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not close enough.
It's almost like
you want to live there? That's closer.
That's my dream, is to retire one of those apartment buildings or something that's right on the ball field.
Yeah, like Newport, Rhode Island, how close that is to.
That's on the field.
There is no way that there's any apartment building that's going to let you bring in 600 plus pucks.
It's like explosives. You bring them in a little bit at a time.
There is a street festival going on. Dang.
Yeah, they do have a street market every Saturday. I just missed it.
I noticed.
Yeah, that would have been nice. That would have been nice.
Cool.
So, yeah, so that was baseball in Costa Rica, something I was not expecting to see, but I'm glad I was glad it was nearby because I didn't really know what time the game started. I just assumed, hey, let me show up there on a Saturday at 1 o'clock. Maybe I'll be lucky, and I got lucky.
Yeah, well, and if you need a car, there's an Alamo right there.
Oh, you got to take your life at risk driving in San Jose.
Yeah, no, thank you.
They drive like nuts. Like right now, on a Friday night, rush hour at certain spots. It can take you about 45 minutes to drive 7 kilometers, 5 miles, because the roads are packed on the weekends between 3 and 7. You know,
look,
it's like,
that, man.
Yeah, it's just so condensed. So like most people, when you go to San Jose, you fly in and then you leave the city to check out the beaches or the resorts or the rainforest and the jungles. So this is when you have some time in San Jose to check out some sporting events.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Our new interactive stadium journey.
Look at that. That's as cool as the site is. We have a map on the site that does that kind of stuff too.
I just want to see how far out. Man, that's a hell of a walk, sir.
Yeah, and they're on mountain time right now. So if you head to San Jose, it'd be Denver time, because they don't have daylight savings time. Now, they'll be Chicago time during the winter, but...
All right, so from...
Before I go, it gets dark at 6 o'clock in Costa Rica every day throughout the year. Can you imagine that?
Yes, I live in New England. In the winter, it gets dark at 4.
I was going to say, I'd be happier. I got news for you.
All right, so I hate to make this joke, but I'm going to anyway. From one third world country to another, Dave's going to talk about Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, you know what? I
wow.
And I didn't mean that to disparage the good people of Costa Rica.
Oh, that's harsh, buddy.
Hey, I lived in Baltimore for 4 years, so.
I will say this. In my trip to Baltimore, I stopped off and I just did a quick drive-by. I wanted to see where the Preakness was held. And
a Pimlico race course.
I had extra time, so I was like, yeah, you know, if I can go in or if there's a museum or something, yeah, don't go there. It's but not a Baltimore. Nice neighborhood.
I went there once.
It's pretty scary.
Once.
Yes, Johnny Dangerously.
Once.
We are fresh off the Stadium Journey convention there at the end of June, and the biggest one ever in that, not necessarily the number of people that were there, but we had 4 scheduled games in different spots. That was pretty awesome.
And thanks to Gregory and Richard for setting all that up.
Yeah, they did a great job. Even stuff like, you know, originally I was like, we're going to go into Bethesda. What's a Bethesda? And it was great. It's what happens when you underestimate things, right? So. But you know that we had 4 games scheduled, so you know
it wasn't enough for you, was it, Dave?
No, it wasn't enough. You're one to talk. You came along. We went and saw. Of course, when you're in that area, you got to make a trip to see the Baltimore Orioles. I know it's like one of Mark's favorite parks, legendary Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
The one that started
it was one of the you know, it was a whole different atmosphere I found because like when the Orioles have been trash for so long that it's just not the same. I think when we went, they were terrible, and the Red Sox were there. So it was almost a Red Sox home game, which is not very fun unless you're like a Red Sox person, I guess. But it was okay. Wow, the energy difference this time was crazy. Like going in on Utah Street, like you could barely move. It was jam packed with people. You know, I would have probably done a lap around the front, but when we got there, when we got there, one of the ushers kind of tricked Paul into going in right away. He said, "Oh, there's still some Hawaiian shirts over at this gate," and boom, we were making a beeline to that gate. Only to find that there were no Hawaiians.
You didn't have to follow me.
At that gate. Well, you know, you're the one that lived in Baltimore. Who were we supposed to follow?
Anybody else?
But no, it was...
When like, I lived in Baltimore, Memorial Stadium was still standing.
Yeah. The energy there was like completely different. I'd never seen anything like it. And I think I turned to you and said, you know, try and convince me now that Baltimore is a football town, right? Like, it felt like Baltimore was a baseball town. One of the things that's new since I had been, and it had been quite a while, was the, I don't even know what they call it. Is it Legends Square or Legends Park? Or it's their part in like left left center field, I guess, where they have all their statues. You know, they got statues of Cal Ripken and Brooks Robinson and Frank Robinson and Eddie Murray and et cetera, et cetera. They had live music there. Oh my gosh, you couldn't move. It was packed. And I'm not sure it was the band. Not that the band was bad. They were pretty into the band, but it was packed. If it wasn't a sellout, it was damn close to being a sellout. And, you know, it sounds like they're ready for, it sounds like actually they have some money for a little sprucing up, and it needs some sprucing up. The video board is kind of substandard now as compared. It could use some ribbon boards. There's still a lot of kind of static lit advertisements. But man, it would be a good time. What was the dude's name? Hedstra? Oh, I can't remember his name now. That's not good.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
You're going to hear it now, dude.
It's Heston Kjerstad hit his second home run in its career. And it was a grand slam, and the place went bananas.
I was right near where it landed.
Oh, and you didn't get it?
Oops, no chance.
It was hot, though. It was really hot. So basically, you know, my good friend Paul bailed on me, went down and hung out in the bar on Utah Street, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was so stinking hot, and my sciatic was acting up, so I was hobbling around, and Pam's asthma was acting up because, you know, if you've never been to the Baltimore, D.C. area in the summertime, humidity is like 3,000%. So you could see the air. That's how thick it was. That's how humid it was. So we were all packed in there. And I've been to Camden Yards, geez, probably about 20 times in my lifetime, and I'd never seen it. You could probably put all 20 of those other crowds, and it was as big as the one crowd we saw last Saturday night.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went and wandered a little bit, and we found ourselves an air-conditioned bar and had some crab tots and drank some Baltimore beer and watched the game from there.
Winning. It helps when the Orioles are winning, especially the yuck Yankees. So.
Damn front runners.
But you know, it's like I've been to Washington. I've been to other places that you wouldn't say, you know, baseball, that are real baseball places when they were good. And I don't know, it just felt different. Like, you know, the crowd was into like every pitch. It was, yeah, it was really good atmosphere. Surprising. You know, worth a, hey, if you're thinking about it, it's worth a go right now. Probably more on the expensive side now. You know, don't park on the wrong side of M&T Bank Stadium. Otherwise, Paul will be mad at you.
Yeah, you parked a long ways away, man.
But no, it was a really good time. And it was a good, I mean, for me, I've been there. It was a good refresher for sure. Our buddy David Welch came with us, and it was his first time, so he was pretty wowed. I think I paid like 20 to park on the other side of M&T Bank Stadium, but I prepaid, so I don't want to.
That wasn't bad. It wasn't that bad a walk. I just was dragging one leg along, so it felt a lot longer than it actually was.
I don't know. Yeah. I say it's kind of a blessing it doesn't have all that electronics, ribbons and stuff. You can go home and get that going. I'm telling you, it's still the best baseball experience. It's funny that the same city has the best stadium experience I've ever had and the worst arena experience I've ever had.
You're right, Dan.
Sorry. And I tried. I went to Baltimore Arena before and after renovation, and I'm like, no.
You know, I would say it needs ribbons, partially because at times it was difficult. Like, you just didn't know where to look for, you know, who's pitching right now. And in most stadiums, I'd look to the ribbon board on the fascia of the upper deck or whatever. It's not there. Or, you know, what's the guy's batting average?
Aren't you old?
Part of it is, too, that the big screen is small. And
true, that's true.
They're still trying to pack in a ton of information, so that becomes a little difficult to read. And I'm old.
I
and my eyesight probably isn't
that's not why I was asking. That's not why I was asking. Wait. The reason I was saying that, because I'm like, wait, didn't you grow up like basically the same way I did, where, you know, you had a giant stadium and a little fan division that you're going, who the hell is that? Okay. Well, I'm serious. Like, I was like, I when you said that, I was like, God, I immediately vividly flash back to Veterans Stadium and this big, giant, disgusting bowl in this little friggin' screen like that. It's not little, but to me, it's the, over there, this big.
Like, don't forget, Skydome opened in 1989. I was 13 years old, and it set the standard for ginormo video.
Oh, that's right. They had that giant wide... That's original, that wide, that big wide video board in there, wasn't it?
Well, it was that size. It's been replaced probably.
Well, I'm saying I'm remembering WrestleMania, and I remember in the background that wide board that had the videos playing. Yeah,
yep.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that wasn't at the vet. That wasn't there. There was the regular video screen, which was state of the art at the time, and then you look at pictures of it, you remember your head, you're like, ugh. And then they had at the same size the standard scoreboard with the animations and the scorekeeping, and you're just like, I can't. What does that say? Is he a good boy or bad boy? All right. Sorry, I'm just checking in on the son.
That's it.
That's it.
The one thing I'll
say, one of your 12 spots.
The one thing I'll say about Baltimore is, man, it's still one of the best stadiums in the major leagues. But man, like you said, it needs some TLC. The most egregious is the sound system.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't remember. Right. I forgot about the sound system. Yeah, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Paul has become a big time announcer snob.
I wonder why.
Like, you know that girl? She wasn't very good. Everything she said was exactly the same.
Yeah, that's like, do you ever go hang out with a DJ? When another DJ is playing music, they tell you all the RPMs and what they would do and how they wouldn't do it. So maybe that's what it's like with a PA announcer at a ballpark.
Yeah, I've become everything I ever hated.
Yeah. Like my buddy Zach, he was with us in Burlington at the Sock Puppets game. He's like, oh, this loudspeaker's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, you can't even hear this guy. Oh, yeah.
No, but the announcer did sound like Charlie Brown's sister or something.
Yeah, she wasn't super exciting, but the sound system definitely is a needed upgrade.
All right, so it's my turn, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so let's see. You know what? I started talking about Nashville, so let's finish talking about Nashville. We were looking at that to be the highlight of our trip, and we actually got to we had it scheduled mistakenly on July 4th. You know what Nashville likes to do on July 4th?
Nothing.
Get really friggin' drunk.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, they like to do that every weekend.
Yeah. This one, they had this big downtown open-air country music festival at the end of Broadway on the Cumberland River with a giant stage, and somebody named, I think, Chris Young was the headliner. I don't know who he is.
Did you get a hotel in town?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes that's hard when they have
Nashville. Well, we were out by the airport.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, it was our misfortune to, well, at least we got there before. What were those guys? The Patriot Front or something showed up?
Oh, those jerk-offs? Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye. Gotta go.
But anyway, the estimate was 350,000 people showed up to downtown Nashville at the exact same time we showed up. So that was fun. The one thing Pam wanted to do was tour the Ryman Auditorium, so we were able to do that. And we walked up and down Broadway a little bit and watched the silly drunk people congregate. And we got out of there just in time before it got really crazy and wandered up to First Horizon Park for the Nashville Sounds game. And, man, beautiful ballpark.
Yep.
What a beautiful ballpark. The only problem was it was 100 degrees and not quite as humid as Baltimore, but, man, it was just stinking hot. So. What do you say about First Tennessee Park? It's just so beautiful. And the takeaway of that stadium is absolutely the iconic guitar shaped scoreboard.
Oh yeah.
Out in right field. That's the one thing everybody will remember. It's the park is located a little bit away from the chaos of downtown. It's out in a neighborhood called Germantown. So there are some good restaurants and some, you know, divey, honky-tonky type bars in the area. So
that's an area that got built up because of the ballpark. So that's
is that stuff all newer than the ballpark?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ballpark's only about 10 years old, so it's still got that new ballpark smell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a newer ballpark, and like there's like a meat, what's like a German market, German beer hall across.
Yeah, right outside the main gate. We actually came in the back way, so we didn't know any of that stuff was there. So afterwards, we were looking around for somewhere to eat, and we said, "Oh, if we would have just walked around the ballpark, we would have found a few things."
No, well, if you read my review, Paul, you would have known.
I did. Your review is very outdated, so it's going to be gone in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while.
It's 5 years old, so it's not totally outdated. Yeah. But we were all disoriented from all the rednecks congregating downtown. We were all just off our game, but a nice ballpark, lots of good food to be had, lots of beer. That brewery that's right there that you're talking about, Mark, is actually not part of the ballpark. It looks like it's attached, mm-hmm. but it's not. So you can't access it, which was a major bummer because I was looking forward to having a couple beers since it was 100 degrees out.
Did I say it was part? Because I know Louisville is part of the ballpark.
No, I don't think you said so. But
oh, okay. Okay.
I found the perfect video to accompany this one. Stand by.
Yeah, those fireworks they had. And then the team had their own fireworks. So we looked this way for we could see downtown's fireworks, and then we looked this way.
Oh.
Nice.
Hey. Yep, that's me.
There's a scoreboard.
I won't get copywritten for that one.
No. Yeah.
There you go. I'm
not checking. I got to tell you, I like that stadium. I like the band box, which is that area in left center field.
Yeah, we caught a couple innings from there.
That is such a cool – I mean, there's people that would just hang out there, not even care about the game, you know. So that's just a cool – and then it's like, you know, you could take your kids to play shuffleboard or putt-putt.
Yeah, they had a mini golf course there. And it wasn't a cheap one because we went to another ballpark that had a really awful mini golf course.
Yeah.
But that one was really – it looked like it was a really well taken care of.
Oh, I wonder where all these guys are.
Ryan LaVarnway's on the team back then. Oh, and Ryan Lamar.
Okay, that's always fun. Yeah, there it is, the bandbox. That's like the soul of, look at that. The giant.
That's an ingenious scoreboard.
Yeah. Shuffleboard there.
So all that stuff was going on. And since it was 4th of July, it was a sellout crowd. And so people were doing all this stuff. And it was just really incredible. All the stuff you could do there. So yeah, if you're a big baseball fan, you could pay attention to the game. And if you don't give a lick about baseball, you could go do other things. And it catered to everybody.
It's a great ballpark. And I'm with you, Zach. Nashville hot chicken. That's if you like hot chicken, because sometimes if you eat the hot chicken the hottest, it can mess up your stomach, which my doctor told me stay away from the hot foods.
So that was Nashville, and that one almost completes the International League for us, believe it or not. 20 teams in that league. We've been to 19 of the parks. So
which one have we not been to yet?
Jacksonville's the only one I'm missing.
Oh, you're okay.
Only one I'm missing. The Stadium Journey's been to all of them.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Let's talk about some more places.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Okay, well, I'll go. I'll take a breather from Costa Rica for a second, and I'll go to a ballpark that I haven't been to in a few years. That's, I was going to say Miller Park, but it's now American Family Field. When did that happen? Did I miss that?
Before last season, I believe.
Should it be? Miller Park, that is, if you're going to name a ballpark in Milwaukee, Miller Park, that's awesome. Just like Coors Field in Denver.
Isn't this part of the brilliance of the naming rights game, though? Like, if you're Miller, why would you kick in another whatever to keep the naming rights when you know damn well everybody's going to just call it Miller Park anyway?
Yeah, no, you're right. I get it. Kind of like, you know, White Sox, who, depending who you talk to, they're calling it Comiskey, the Cell, the Ray Sox Park. But I got to tell you, so I really enjoyed American Family Field, and I'll call it that because that's who's paying for it. The tailgating. I knew the tailgating was going to be out of sight. I was there on Father's Day. Not only did they have a ton of folks tailgating, they also had a church. They had a mass, Catholic mass, that after services, they gave out free wine, beer, food. You know, I think it was one per customer, though. I don't think you had all you can eat, all you can drink. But I sat in mass for a little while, but I didn't take anything. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. The reason why is because as I walked around to each tailgating spot, there was people handing me beers. There was people handing me food. Somebody made me a Milwaukee-style Bloody Mary with like a giant like sausage stick in there with cheese. And somebody gave me a beer, a pecan blonde ale, which was amazing. I actually bought a six-pack home with me. People were giving me, here, just go make yourself a sandwich. They had Spotted Cow on tap. I mean, this was such a fun little place to be. And everybody was friendly. Everybody was rocking Milwaukee Brewers colors, whether it was from the 80s or now. And that was, 2 hours before the game. So got to meet and hang out with a lot of folks. Got to have some tasting. Was fine. I just had a couple sips of here. I didn't sit there and get drunk with everybody, but everybody was like, here, have a sip. And I'm like, well, no, I'm here to write an article. I can't go into the stadium wasted. That will not be a good look on me. So I did have the Bloody Mary. That was pretty good. But anyway, walked into the stadium. One thing I like about Milwaukee, like they have in Cincinnati, you hit all your iconic foods, your brats, your cheese curds, your Johnsonville sausages. Everything is just laid out there for you. Very nice configuration. It's been a while since I had been there, so I remember some things. It was open. First time I was at the ballpark when it was open, that was really nice to see because you get a very different perspective of the whole stadium. They've added some new places upstairs on what is the historic third ward. Am I saying that right? If anybody wants to correct me, I should have known that already. I'm sorry about the title. Yeah, historic Third Ward neighborhood. So they kind of brought that kind of image into the upper level. And there's a really great barbecue place, Smoking Joe's Barbecue. And there you can get some nice, tasty barbecue brisket nachos. And that was, I sampled that. That was really good. There's also some brisket sandwiches there. So you don't have to go to Texas to get some great brisket. There's also sushi up there. There's also a giant bar that overlooks the stadium. I tell you, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun that game. And then, of course, you're in Milwaukee. You're going to have to check out the sausage race between the sixth inning. I just missed the home run watching Bernie Brewer slide down. I didn't see that part. And there's just a lot of cool areas to hang out there to watch, to enjoy the game. And what I noticed in Seattle last year and then in Milwaukee this year is that when you don't go back to a stadium, and this is an older stadium, I think built 2000. I think it was built, 2001, I think it opened up. It was supposed to open up in 2000. When you go back to these stadiums after 10 years or 8 years, you can see how they made some upgrades and changes. So sometimes it's good to go back to these facilities to see what's new there. And I'm glad I did because I was never a big fan. Thank you, Dan, of this ballpark. But I tell you, this really changed my attitude. I would also suggest people, if you are going to the game, weekend games, you're going to pay more for parking. And if they're playing the Cubs, you're going to pay more for parking. Get your prepaid parking. You're going to save a lot more money. You're going to save about $3-5 in some instances. So prepay to park because, you don't want to pay – you can pay as low as $13 to $15 to park in one of the non-premium lots. That's where all the tailgating is anyway. So you want to be there. But yeah, Milwaukee and still a very affordable ticket to get to. If you go on TickPick, you can buy tickets for around $10 and prepay for your parking and enjoy all that beautiful food and beer. And heck, if you want to bring some to tailgate, go do that and make some friends because it is the best tailgating in Major League Baseball. I'll put it up there against Chicago White Sox any day. And I don't know where else I'm going, but
sorry.
Philadelphia better?
No. you know how I feel about Citizens Bank Park? It's okay. It's fine. No. I mean, it's 48 miles away from where the Veterans Stadium was, yeah. The Vet, well, but no, I was just asking, when were you there last? Because I just read a week ago that 11 people were hurt in one of the escalators there.
No, I think I was there in 2018.
Okay.
2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I was just making sure. I was like, that.
Yeah, I was there with students. There? You know, and here's the thing. It's built outside of downtown, so you have to drive there. I don't know if there's any kind of – there's probably some shuttle or some mass transit. I didn't do that research for the show, but it's a place where you have to drive. And, like, do I consider it in the upper echelon of Major League ballparks? It's somewhere in the middle. I would not say it's one of the worst ballparks, but I would not say it's one of the best. But it kind of maybe if I had to make a top 15, maybe it's in the somewhere between 11 and 15. I don't know what you guys think. I don't know what your thoughts on the home of the Brewers are. But there's a lot of good things there. There's a lot of pluses, a lot of extras, which will be out soon. My review and should have been up already, but I'm almost done with it. There's a lot to write about this place.
Feel like you do, Mark. Put it somewhere. Summer middle third and maybe the upper middle third, but the design of the roof is what always gets me about that place.
Yeah, I think if it's open, I think if it's closed, you may feel a little different about it. I think when it's open, you're like, oh, okay.
You could say that about any ballpark, though.
Yeah.
Any dome park.
Bob Uecker's statue up top is.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's awesome, but it's just a little creepy.
Yeah.
Not the one outside.
All right. And Zach, you're right. Lakefront Brewery is the place in Milwaukee for beer. Maple-flavored root beer brewed in-house. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, and Milwaukee's a fun place to go in the summer as well. Now, if you go during their Summerfest, good luck getting a hotel. It gets crazy there along the lakefront. But if you go there anytime after, you won't be as crazy. But Milwaukee during the summer is a really awesome place to be with some great beer. And you can also check out some other minor leagues and summer collegiate teams nearby. So I'd recommend Milwaukee. If you're looking to knock off some baseball parks, you know, in various leagues and enjoy some good beer, some good root beer, great food, see the Fonzie statue. I think they have the Bobblehead Museum there, the Harley Davidson Museum. It's a cool little city. You know, it may rank up there as my favorite city at the end of the year reviews. We'll see. We'll see. Easy to get to, cheap tickets. Yeah. Milwaukee hits off a lot of those
pluses. Absolutely. One of those underrated cities. And you're like me, Mark. I think we like to stay away from the bigger places. So the mid-sized cities like Milwaukee.
Cincinnati, yeah.
Places to be, yeah.
No, you're right. You just, you know, you look at the price to pay for parking in some of these, you know, I heard like the Arlington, the new ballpark in Texas, what, $50 to park, 40? Is that, Zach, do you know this? How much it is to park there? I mean, that's insane. Or anybody.
What?
Yeah, just not the park for a baseball.
It's free to park when you're just going for the ballpark tour.
Oh, it's free to park when you break through the fence, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I still like to know I can go to a baseball game and pay maybe $10 or $20 for a ticket. You know, because I was going to go to a Cubs game and it was, you know, it was like $50 and I couldn't get it on TickPick. And then the place was charging me $23 extra for a service fee. It's like $73 to go to a Cubs game. I don't really feel that bad. I was just there last year.
I'll tell you in a second. I'm looking it up.
All right. On that
note. All right, Dave, you want to start us up with your next place?
Trivia time. Okay, here we go. Which professional sports organization holds the record for most consecutive sellouts?
Dayton Dragons.
It is the Dayton Dragons with an over 23 season span, excluding COVID. Over 1,500 games strong. So, yeah, well, I actually on the way back from hanging out with Mark in Indiana at my son's baseball tournament, we stopped at Dayton on the way home and went to Day Air Ballpark, home of the Dayton Dragons. Single A? High A? I don't know. High A. Why don't they use 4A or single A and rookie? Or like, yuck. Anyway, High A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. So this is probably one of the most lauded minor league ballparks there is, minor league experiences. There, you know, it's kind of all the rage. I believe, was it not one of the ballparks featured on Man vs. Food?
No.
It wasn't on their baseball episode?
That was Sauget.
Yeah.
I think it was Columbia or Greenville, somewhere in South Carolina, and then one in Michigan.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe. I'm not positive. I could be wrong.
There you go. Someone in the universe out there can correct us in the chat.
What did we do before the internet? We just you could make things up and nobody could call you on it.
We just Donald Trumped it.
Yeah. Well, Donald, nobody calls Donald Trump on his lies either, so who cares? Well,
you know, but anyway, not digressed. So anyway, as a facility, it's solid. It seems to have like everything, all the different kinds of seating that you would expect in a minor league ballpark. I feel it sort of takes the promotions kind of the next level. So they've got their mascots. They've got, I can't remember the male mascot's name. The female was Jem. And then they had a couple other things going on. And I don't know if these were like one-shot deals, but they had like this big inflatable bird who was made to look like Harry Carey. And they called him Harry Canary.
You were there for the superstars.
Sorry?
Were you there for the superstars?
I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, Harry Canary I thought was hilarious. They had Roof Man, who is like some guy on the roof dressed up in a sock or something, throwing stuff, you know, throwing freebies off the roof down in the crowd. And of course, you know, people being what they are, they went crazy for whatever stuff they were throwing. You know, the scoreboard there is pretty iconic. They have these giant dragons on the outside, and they breathe fire when the dragons score. It's there is just like a lot going on all the time, and maybe, you know, even like little things. So you know, you go to a college game and you get like a college football game or whatever basketball game, and you get the cheerleaders run out with the flags, right? Well, these guys had a point where, you know, the promo team ran out with the flags. Yeah, it's little, but it's fun. I think what might have just made it, though, was the way the game ended. So the Dragons were really terrible. I think they had like two hits in the whole game. They're down like 4-0 going into the ninth. They somehow get within one, and there's two outs, a guy in third, a guy in second, and the ridiculously light hitting catcher comes up. And I said to my son, why are they not pinch hitting for this guy? Like, he's hitting a .140 something. Like, this is just screaming pinch hit, right? But no, they don't pinch hit for him. They're playing Great Lakes. Great Lakes brings in their closer, who on the first pitch sails it over the head of the catcher. Tying run scores. Okay. Still, you know, 140 something catchers in. He goes down to two strikes. It's like, and he looks bad on these two strikes. Like, there's no way he's hitting this. And what happens? Closer chucks it in the dirt. Guy from third comes home. Game winning run. So tying run, winning run, both on wild pitches. Totally bizarre. But they're a lot of fun. And the support, I mean, hey, it was sold out, right? Like, how often do you go to a minor league park and there's a ton of empty seats, and it's just kind of, well, you know, you have to kind of look beyond. Well, you know, I bet you that over there, that area over there would look really cool. It would be really cool if there were people in it. Well, you could do that because everywhere had people. It was, you know, it was kind of a pleasant surprise. Nice way to kind of end that little journey.
Did anybody tell you you should have been here a couple years ago to see De La Cruz play?
No. A
few people told me that when I was there last summer. Because that's another cool thing is like the connection with the Reds. You know, a lot of those players that star in Dayton move up to Cincinnati, and then you get that extra bonus.
Yeah, and it's definitely a really close affiliate, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I think we were going to all do three, but it looks like time constraints are going to make it so we all just do two ballparks or two facilities.
I made it efficient.
Yeah. No worries. There, it's our fault for rambling. Ramble on. The next place I would like to talk about is Asheville, North Carolina, McCormick Field.
I'm sorry. Wait. You guys asked.
Asked what?
Parking at Texas Stadium or whatever the hell it's called.
Globe Life.
It looks like it's, oh, of course, it's not showing up on the screen. God damn it. 45 is tops. And I can't even see where V-Lot. Oh, there it is. V-Lot. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's way down there at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, right. There it is right there. So God only knows how much that is.
Okay, so $20, maybe not as bad as I thought, but.
Yeah, but that's.
V-Lot. But you know what? NFL games, those same that's parking lots here, for the though, Cowboys man. Are that are crazy.
That's further away, though, Mark. Closer yeah. is $45-$50.
I know. Yeah, you're right. That's what it's getting like at a lot of places, and you'd be surprised. And then a lot of them want to take prepaid. So that's why that's us old fogies have to tell ourselves.
No, that's too much. Like everything else in the world, the prices are pumped up, and nobody can do anything.
It's a baseball game.
It's I'm just an old fogey too.
Well, I remember complaining about paying $15 back in 2002 when I went to Texas. I'm gladly paying $15 now.
Sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to. I just wanted to get that.
No worries. No worries. So Asheville, North Carolina, McCormick Field, home of the Asheville Tourists. If anybody's ever been to this, it's got a real old-timey feel. And why? Because they've been playing baseball on the site of McCormick Field since the 30s. And at one point, they lost their affiliation, and they turned the ballpark into a little race car track. So you can still see some of the retaining walls. The stadium itself is built into the side of a mountain. So right beyond the fence is the mountain. And it goes, right behind the fence. The fence is about, 20 feet tall. And the hill is right behind it. So there might be enough room to just walk behind it. But and up on top of the mountain is a football stadium. So pretty cool.
24 they've actually been playing.
Yeah, so they've been playing there forever. The ballpark is meant to look very old-timey, but it actually isn't. It was actually, this stadium was built in like 91.
Yeah,
91. So they tore down the old wooden stadium and rebuilt it modern with concrete and, modern plastic seats and everything and a nice cover over the top for shade and much appreciated. It was a very comfortable place to catch the game. All the seats are real close to the field. Fantastic. Getting to the field is not the easiest because, like I said, it's built on the side of a mountain. So you either got to walk up the mountain to park or down the mountain to park. So either way you look at it, you're climbing a hill. Not both ways, mind you, but one way or the other, you have to climb a hill. But why am I talking about McCormick Field? Not necessarily because of the field, which was nice enough. Not because of Mr. Moon, who's one of the cooler mascots you'll ever see. Asheville calls itself Beer City. Mm-hmm. Brew City. And man, I went there on my birthday. It lived up to its reputation.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. It's the ballpark is not located right there on the downtown, but it's downtown adjacent. So you can go within a half a mile to a mile of the ballpark, and you can hit, and I'm not exaggerating here, you can hit at least 12 different craft breweries. Believe me, we tried to hit them all. So I had a nice stumble into the ballpark that day. It's been a long time since I stumbled into a ballpark. Nice. And if you didn't get enough craft beer before the game, you can get all those same craft beers at the game.
For much prices.
The prices weren't crazy either.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Because they're all there and every craft brewery in the city is represented at the ballpark as well. That's and crazy. Anything you want under the sun, you can find there. So, not the fanciest ballpark, not the most modern ballpark. But, man, if you like beer, Asheville, North Carolina is the place to go.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that the ballpark was rebuilt in 1992, 91, 92, because a lot of people think that's the original 1924 ballpark. And it's not, and baseball teams do that all the time. It's like, oh, 100th anniversary of the stadium, even though this is our third stadium. So
they were advertising the 100th anniversary of the stadium this year.
Yeah, they do that a lot. And I get in discussions with people about McCormick. I'm like, it's not a 1924 stadium. Like I get it. If you want to celebrate 100 years of playing on that site, go for it. But let people know this is the second version. Because what to read is like, oh, this is a 1924 ballpark, yada yada yada, oldest or second or third oldest. No, it's not.
Architecturally speaking, I had this discussion with someone who was an architect, And to consider a facility a brand new structure is a certain, there's a certain percentage of the, yeah, of the, and I wish I could remember what he told me, a certain percentage of the stadium or a certain level down to the foundation, you've got to go and then rebuild up. So I think like if the foundation is still there like this, I think the reason we talked about it was PNC Park in Scranton.
Oh yeah.
Because that was another one that they tore down totally and redid. And if you ever went to the old PNC Park or PNC Field, PNC something in Moosic. Yeah, if you went to the old one and the new one, there's no comparison.
Well, the old one was like the vet. The
old one looked like a little slice of the vet, exactly. It looks like
the diamond in Richmond.
Yeah, so, but I think architecturally, they're not considered two different buildings.
Yeah, no, surprisingly. Surprisingly, they're not. So, like, that's why I can say, hey, I've been there to see a game, even though
right,
I hadn't seen a game there since, like, 1997.
Yeah, so... not the easiest place to get to. Parking is very, very poor. And like I said, you got to walk up a very steep hill or down a very steep hill. I had no problem getting in. Getting out, I felt the hill. I wonder why. I sobered up over 3 hours. That's why. Yeah, my wife said, I can't believe how quick you made it up that hill. I said, well, I had 12 beers.
Nothing hurt. How did you sleep that night?
Like a baby.
No, like a baby. Good.
I was more worried about the next morning drive. We drove all the way across Tennessee the next day.
Okay, so about that. I don't. Where did that come from? Sleep like a baby. I mean, I remember many, many, many times when my kid was screaming at 2 a.m. Not sleeping like no baby.
I don't know.
And you know, I'm just like let the cat out of the bag. I found out where that came from. I'll tell you that later on. I don't know.
Now I need to hear it.
Well, apparently, people used to buy in
bags of cats.
They used to buy certain animals in a bag. Like you would buy chickens in a bag, and you would take them home, and you would, you know,
use smash them with the rock.
You would kill them, or use them for eggs, or you would put them in a chicken coop, and they would have a bag, and the chicken heads would hang out. And then all of a sudden, people are like, "Yeah, let's stick some cats in these bags and sell them and rip people off." So they would say, okay, let's get the cat out.
Bro, it would be a chicken head stuck on the top of the bag where the cat is at.
No, they would wrap the bags up without the chicken head. Some of the guys would do that, and they would charge you less. I would want to look because I think if they thought if you opened up the bag, the chicken would start running around. I don't know.
Once you pick up the bag and it meows or
that's what I'm thinking. Now this story could be full of crap that
the chick is up.
But let the cat out of the bag. Yeah. Or, you know, one way to skin a cat, it's not about a cat, it's about a catfish.
Huh. Catfish, Nashville. We went full circle. See that? Look at that.
Yeah. No, it's too soon.
And if anybody has anything that disagrees with me or wants to correct me, go right ahead. I don't care.
And why don't you kiss his ass then?
Yeah.
We don't need to film that.
You know why they call it?
Leave it up to your imagination.
How come our chat stopped about 12 minutes ago?
I don't know. They just listen. No. We have that.
Greg Koch. Zach's never been to the Texas Rangers Stadium.
Well, anyway, that's where we're going to.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
That's where we're going to end our discussion for tonight. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Dan, where can our listeners follow you beyond the confines of the podcast?
Oh, please don't. DanLaw83.
And Mark, where can our listeners follow you? And where are the next 2 weeks going to bring take you?
You can follow me at Ballpark Hunter on YouTube, Twitter, and check out my reviews at Stadium Journey under Mark Viquez, including Estadio Escare. Where am I going to be in the next 2 weeks? I think I'm going to be in Kokomo to check out the little Northwoods Baseball League with Dave on Friday. And I'm trying to get to the Terre Haute Rex game. That's a prospect league team. I think we need to update that review. And still trying to get down to the, the Tri-State Colcats. That's the new Appalachian League team. Still try to make that work out sometime by the end of July. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Dave, where can our listeners follow you and where are you headed the next couple of weeks?
Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, YouTube, whatever, Profan9. Actually, we're heading to Indiana on Wednesday. It's baseball tournament time again. So while we're down there, we're going to catch the Indianapolis Indians probably on Thursday. And then, like Mark said, we're We're doing a big team outing to the Kokomo Jackrabbits on the Friday when I return home, hoping to hit the Welland Jackfish before our next time. So follow that and more at Profane 9.
Jackfish are always a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been before, so they can't make me kiss the fish.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they have to, what you have to do on your first time?
Kiss the fish? Well, that's who they try and get. I didn't do it my first time either, so.
I would do it if I went there. I would definitely do it.
The first time I went, I think they found a bachelorette party, so.
Oh, there you go.
They would kiss anything.
Score.
For me, follow my stadium journeys on Twitter or Instagram at PuckManRI. Where will I be? I'm done with vacation, so for the next 2 weeks, 12 out of the next 13 nights, you can find me at Campanelli Stadium. This week, the New England Knockouts have a home stand, and next week, it is the Brockton Rocks. So, a funny thing, I took a week off from my PA duties to take this vacation, because basically, it's Pam's 1 week off a year, so told them before the season, this week, no can work. They were okay with that, luckily. But I was afraid I was going to get Wally pipped, because frankly, both the Knockouts and the Rocks have been, struggling this season. So I was like, all right, great. I'm gonna go away for a week, and both teams are going to start winning, and they're not going to let me come back. But while I was gone, the Knockouts went 0-3, and the Rocks went 1-5. So it ain't me. And remember, those of you who enjoyed the podcast, you can find all of our 2,500 stadium reviews, news items, and other feature stories at stadiumjourney.com. Connect with us on our social media channels at Stadium Journey. For audio versions of the podcast, search HIAC Talk Radio Network wherever you look for your favorite podcasts. And for video simulcast, look up Stadium Journey's YouTube page. And you can join us, as always, for our live streams every other Monday night at 7 Eastern Time. Daylight Savings Time now? Yes. No. Is it Daylight Savings Time or is it not Daylight Savings Time? I always get mixed up.
I think it's always Daylight Savings Time, right?
Not in the winter, right?
Not winter?
I don't know.
We're always saving time somehow.
Anyway, pay attention to any of us on social media. You will find the directions to join us for the podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks. That brings us to July 22nd. We don't have a topic selected yet, but, you know, I know it's going to be awesome. As always, thanks, everyone, for listening and joining us. For Dan, Mark, and Dave, this is Paul wishing you all safe journeys and close games.